Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
It says here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, and I thank you, for the opportunity this morning to be able to share your word and to share with your people that you love, Father, and that have called by name, Lord, here that are in the sanctuary and then those that are at home, Lord, through the internet, God. And I thank you for this opportunity. We love you this morning. I just ask you to help me to communicate what you have given me, Lord, through this word. Communicate it with your people. Communicate your love, your care, and your concern, Father God, for each and every one of us. We love you this morning. We thank you and we praise you. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, I'm blessed this morning to be able to share. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity to share and to be able to impart at least a few minutes into your lives. And those are your lives that are there on the in the internet. And I thank Pastor Eric, amen, and Sister Jessica for the privilege to be able to share their pulpit, this pulpit here this morning. Well, it's we'll have in the next 2 weeks, which is today and then next week, we're going to have two consecutive weeks of speakers that are not going to be Pastor Eric. It's going to be Pastor Eric has, I believe that he's strategically opened up the pulpit for a couple of us to preach, amen, and to share. And so today, as you know, that I'm here and I'm going to be preaching. And then next week, it will be Pastor Nick Gonzalez from Victory Outreach Chino, which is the mother church. Amen. And so it's always good to hear from the pastors that come from the mother church or the church there by in Southern California where our ministry has been founded. Amen. And so there, they get all the firsthand stuff, and they'll be able to bring that up north here. It's a great thing. So Pastor Nick is on the pastoral staff there in the mother church. And he is the director, and we touched on this a little bit. Pastor Eric is there in the book of Galatians. He was talking about doctrine and schooling and all that. Well, he's the actual director of our Victory Education and Training Institute. And so he's going to be here, and he's a powerful, powerful man of God. And so one of the things that we have in common, him and I, is that we have in common is our children. His daughter and my son were married back in June, so we're related in a sense, amen. And how many know God is good? And I just met him, and I really appreciated him, and I really got to know him. And he's been around a long time. I've been around for a long time, and these are the things that we have in common. Not only are our children being married, but we have another thing in common is that we have been Christians and involved in ministry, in the ministry of Victory Outreach that we are in today. We've been involved in ministry, not to toot any horns, but to let you know that we have been in Christians and involved in the ministry of Victory Outreach for over 35 years. That's a long time. Somebody say amen. So when I noticed the flyer and I looked at it, I said, man, me and, because when I was talking to Pastor Nick, and I was giving them my testimony, my background, where I came from and where I was at. Mine went back to 1985. Some of you weren't even born in 85, right? So I went all the way back to 85, and he went even further back. Hello, somebody. And I was like, whoa, man, you've been around a long time. And for me, I know it's been a blessing to be a part of the Ministry of Victory Outreach. And I know that God has raised us up, and God has done a work in our lives, not only for our personal lives, but for the benefits of others. And so I thank God for that. And he will be here next week. So you're going to get like 70 years of worth of experience, amen, in serving God. And it's a blessing, amen. So we've been up through a lot. And I know you've been through a lot. And we've learned a lot about God and God's grace and God's mercy. And the good thing is we're still going forward, amen, in the things of God. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, there's hope for you.
There's hope for you.
If I can do it for 35 years and serve the Lord, then I believe that you can go ahead and you, no matter what you're going through today, even those of you that are watching, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it seems like, no matter how it looks, no matter whatever the situation is, God is able to keep you, amen, and God is able to continue to do a work in your life, amen. So when I looked at that flyer and I seen the theme, I looked at the scripture and seen how, you know, it's fitting. In a sense, and the Apostle Paul here is writing to believers in Rome, and as he's writing to these believers in Rome, they're actually writing them because they have a hard time. How many have ever had a hard time? Oh, come on, somebody! And they had a hard time, really, understanding this gospel and understanding the truths of the gospel. And sometimes we have a problem understanding the truth that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they were having a struggle, and the struggle that they had, and many of us have it sometimes, is they had a hard time separating being right with God and the law. Being right with God and the law. Because they had grown and they had like a lot of them were Jews, and they had experienced God's they had been taught being right with God, it was by your works. Turn to your neighbor and say it was by your works. It was by what you did. And so when Paul began to preach the gospel, and when telling them that it's not by works, and we talked about this in Galatians, that it's not by works that you're saved, that you're saved by grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And so they had a hard time separating that. They had a hard time thinking that. So they were thinking, in other words, it was common thinking to be right with God meant or it entailed that you had to follow the law, that you had to walk according to the rules. How many have ever felt that way? That if I'm going to be right with God, I have to follow this rule. It's almost like we think sometimes that God is like there. Do you ever see that exterminator guy with that big pest control picture with the guy with a big hammer behind him and the little mouse there and he's going to get him? Sometimes we think that God is that way. He's like the pest control guy and he just makes all these laws and says, look, if you follow these laws, if not, you're going to get crushed. And so that's our mindset. And that's the mindset that the people had back then and there in Rome, is that they had a hard time separating being right with God and the law. Because even today, if we depended on the law to be right with God, hello, somebody, this place would be empty. Hello, right? We wouldn't be here. If we had to be good and we say, well, in order for God to love me and to like me, I have to be good, that would be hard for us to be able to do. Nobody can do that. You know, contrary to some people's beliefs, according to God's word, even here in Romans chapter 3, as Paul writes, I want you to turn there with me this morning. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says this, for all have sinned. How many people have sinned? The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when I think about it, when I think of this world, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is fallen. That's why there's so much chaos and things going on, is that we live in a fallen world. People, regardless of what they think and how they feel and how they view life, they don't all agree that they're bad people. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. They don't all believe they're sinners, should I say. All right. They don't all believe that. People, no matter what, you know, some people don't believe. But it seems like here this morning that you and I have come to grips with ourselves and said, you know what, man, I'm a sinner. And the Bible says that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, contrary to the beliefs many times of this world. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, there is none righteous. There is not one, even one that is righteous. How many people in this world are righteous? None. Not one. And so the people are thinking that you had to live a certain way and do it. And he's saying, like, no matter how you live, no matter what you do to try to be right with God or try to make things better, there is no one that is able to do that on their own. There is none righteous, not even one. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. I like what David writes in Psalm 32. I want you to go with me to Psalm 32. I'm going to try to rush it here this morning. Now, I am so used, I don't know about you, to my iPad. I am so used, and it's a bad habit. My iPhone and the Bible on it. All I have to do is touch it. Hello, somebody. And then it comes up. And it's like after 35 years, it's getting hard to be able to, like, I got to turn my Bible here and do all that. It's so clean. Turn to your neighbor and say, this Bible's so clean. You know, growing up, before this, all this stuff, man, my Bibles would be all tattered and tore up and pieces and all that and marked up. But now, you know, when I get up in the morning or when I'm doing my devotion, I just go to my iPad and go through there and all that. Psalm 32. I hope we don't lose it with the thought about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want you to see God's love here. Because sometimes we have the wrong understanding of what it is when we're serving God. When we come to church and we want to know God and we want to live for him. Sometimes it's a little bit of a misunderstanding. And what we do sometimes is we put the cart in front of the horse. We put the cart in front. We think that by going to church that we're made right with God. That if we don't go to church, then we're not right with God. And some of us think, I can't go to church because I'm not right with God. And that's all wrong thinking. The house of God should be full of people that understand this morning that, you know what, I need God in my life. And I need his love. And it's not like I need to get approval of him. No. I don't think God is our father. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is our father. I don't know if you have any kids. You might have a couple of bad kids. You know, the ones that get into mischief and do all that stuff. And man, you want to just get them and try to shake them up or try to, and it doesn't happen. But still, you have that love for your child. And this is what the gospel is about. It's about the love that God has for you and I. And that it's not about how good we walk and how good we, and that just, don't worry, I'm going to get to something else in a minute. But his love is not about that. But look at this, what David writes. And now David writes this Psalm 32 right after he had a fall with Bathsheba. You guys know the story? He had a fall, he fell. Turn to your neighbor and say, David fell. He fell in sexual sin. And he went ahead and he fell. And he was a king. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of God. And he fell. And it says here in Psalm 32, he writes this. He says, this is after the fact. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, he says, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. And so Dave said that when I fell, and I fell into sin, he said, man, when I kept silent, When I didn't deal with it, when I didn't bring it before the Lord, and I tried to cover it up or I tried to do it on my own, man, I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good. I didn't feel like, in other words, it almost sounds like he had the flu. I felt like, you know, like, man, I felt like I had the flu. I felt like, I don't know, I just didn't feel, right. My life was not on top of the world. I didn't have the victory. I just felt this way that, man, it was a heaviness upon my life when I kept silent. But he says, but blessed, somebody say blessed, is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That when we come to our Father, that when we come and we confess and we repent of our sins and we say, yes, God, I have a need, that all of a sudden all the weights of all the guilt and shame and all that stuff is lifted up off us. How many can thank God for that? See, many times it's very hard for people to even believe that or to admit that in our lives, and we try to cover it up and do all kinds of other things. See, David writes that all of us, you know, and Paul's saying that all have sinned, that all of us have a problem. All of us have a sin problem. And one thing about a sin problem is that we all deal with it differently. Some try to live an extra good life, but you just fail. You can't cross, you know, every T and dot every I of our life. We always fall short because the Bible tells us you're going to fall short. Some try to fix it by going ahead and say, you know what, I'll just feed my desire. I have a desire, and this sin, this my fallen nature wants to do this. And then we just go ahead and we give ourselves to it. And I don't know about you, but when I gave myself or when I give myself to something, I started to feel like David. I don't feel complete. I don't feel whole. I don't have a sane mind. It's like, man, I get problems with God. I have problems with people. I have problems everywhere I go. Oh, somebody say amen. Some try to just go ahead and suppress the truth. And Paul writes about that right in Romans as we read on, how people try to suppress the truth. And the truth that it blows my mind is the truth is not there to harm you and I. Turn to him and say, the truth is not there to harm us. The truth is not there to make us feel bad and to feel guilty and to feel shameful. And so many people view it that way. I don't want anything to do with God. God don't exist. Because God don't exist. The reason why God don't exist for you, because you know that if God exists, the law points out that there is sin in our lives. And nobody likes to admit to that. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't come here and say, oh, man, I just sinned last night, Pastor. Boy, I was in sin, sin. No, we try to hide it. We try to cover it up. We try to act like there's nothing wrong. And does it do us any good? It doesn't do us any good. So God has provided for you and I. He says that, man, the righteous, the people righteous will live by faith. It doesn't say the righteous will live by following these rules and doing all these different things. And if you're not following, then you are unrighteous. Oh, are you guys with me? They had a problem with separating the law. Amen. And doing good. So the Apostle Paul knew the truth, and that God has a problem. I mean, people have a problem, and that only God can fix it. So he says in Romans chapter 1, go back with me to Romans chapter 1. You're turning your Bible, or you're turning your... Are you guys with me here this morning? This is not false doctrine. It's not like license to go sin. No, it's not that. It's the truth. So when Paul goes to Rome, and he's excited, he wants to go to Rome, and he's excited about sharing with these people because he understands, you know, sometimes we live like a religious life. You have to do all the... He says this in verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. So he says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it brings salvation. Turn to your neighbor and say, it brings salvation. That word salvation means soteria, which means it's able to rescue are to bring to safety. Somebody say amen. I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it will bring a person, it will bring a human being into safety. I don't know about you, but I had enough of my life not being in safety. I lived enough of my life, man, where I needed to be rescued and I'm trying to figure things out. This is what God is able to do. This is what his desire is to do. That he's able to bring salvation. It reminded me of a story of a man named Naaman. You guys know Naaman? Yeah. Naaman was like a guy that, he was one of the ones that tried to maybe be right or try to fix his life and do everything right so that he would be right. He was a man that was a leader. He overseen an army and he did battles. He was a really good guy. He had all this stuff going for him. He's spoken well of in the Bible, but the Bible says he had leprosy. So all this stuff that he achieved, everything that he's done and to try to feel complete didn't happen because he still had something wrong with him. You see, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has something that's inside that we don't feel the way, or we just don't like something about ourselves or whatever, or we know that it's there and we don't want. Everybody does. God comes to rescue that. Somebody say amen. And this is what happened with Naaman. And so he had found out if he went to this prophet that he could be healed. And then when it came down to go to him, the prophet told him, hey, do this, this, and this, and you can be healed. And it wasn't so much about what you were doing. It was so much about his faith that it could happen. And so what happened, he said, no, I ain't going to do that. I can go over here and do that. How many of you ever had that attitude? I don't have to go to church, or I don't have to, and you don't, but I don't have to go to God. I can fix it myself. Well, he had that thing. And then some of his buddies told him, hey, why don't you go do it, man? It ain't going to hurt you if you try. That's what I said when I got saved. If you're real, and if you can do what you've done in my sister's life, then go ahead and do it in my life. So he went ahead and he did what was told him. How many know what he was trying to achieve? He got healed. Somebody say he got healed. You see, me growing up, I thought only good people were right with God. How about you? And I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm not racist or nothing like that, but I actually thought that Mormons were Christians. So growing up, a Mormon was a Christian. A Mormon was a person that talked to Jesus. I was a Catholic, so you know we do what we do, and we're all Latino, and we just went with the flow. But I thought now those guys are like holy people or whatever, because they had a certain dress. They were all like, they were white. I'm there in the ghetto. Hello, somebody. So I said, I can never be a Christian. There's no way I could be a Christian. Look at these guys and me. Oh, we're in two different worlds. So I can't never be a Christian. So that's what I thought. But sin was wearing me down. And so I went to the home. Somebody say the home. I didn't go voluntarily. I had to get sent there, by the probation officers and the courthouse and all that. And so everyone there in the home knew, it seemed like they knew the Bible when I first got there. I come straight from the streets and I go there. These guys are quoting scriptures. They have Bibles, Bibles. And then they give me a Bible. It was King James. Hello. And I opened it up and I was like, these out. I didn't understand. I just closed it and go play horseshoes and all that stuff. And I'd go to Bible study. At Bible study, they had chapel every morning and all that. And I would go there and they would be talking about the Bible. And I thought, man, they want me to be Jesus, man. You know what I mean? They want me to be Jesus. And I was far from Jesus. And so it was overwhelming. It became to be overwhelming for me. And I was like, I wrote my mom a letter and said, hey, I'm going to get out of here, man. These people want me to walk like, I can't walk like Jesus. And I probably learned that early in my Christianity. But I earnestly and I innocently believed that Jesus loved me. Somehow or another, I just had a relationship that I knew that he loved me, but I just knew that, I couldn't do it. I felt like I couldn't do it. That I didn't fit in, or I couldn't be a part because of who I was in my mind and the way I was. Anybody ever felt like that? So I went out and I left and I went back to the neighborhood and I started to hang out with the homies again. Tried to. Somebody say tried to. But I didn't fit in no more. all of a sudden, I didn't fit in. I didn't have the same, you know, I was in the home for a while, so I learned something. I wasn't walking it, but God was doing something in my life. I didn't do anything but say a prayer and believe in him by faith. But when I got out of there, that thing, whatever took place there, was still with me outside. And I would go around and try to be with the fellas and just, hey, let's go do it. I go, nah, I'm all right, brother. Something began to take place in my life. And I didn't even try to walk right. I wasn't even like, I'm going to walk with Jesus and all. No, I wasn't even like that. But there was some, I couldn't even drink a beer. Hello, somebody. It went down and it came right back up. So rightfully, what did I do? I said, well, I better stop drinking beer and I'll try to go over here and drink some hard liquor. It went down and it came back up. Hello, somebody. And something was taking place. And basically what was taking place is that God had made me righteous. Not like, oh, I'm righteous or righteous. No, no, righteous. I was made right with him. Although I didn't do anything to do it, I was made right with God the time that I went and I spoke to him and I said, God, if you can change me and I believe that you exist, then do what you got to do in my life. And so how many know that a miracle had taken place in my life? I didn't white knuckle it. Though in the beginning when I thought I had to do all these things, but I had someone with me, and that was the Spirit of God began to live in me. And it was the power that was in me that helped me to go ahead and to live out what was taking place in my life. So it's not rules, even to today. I don't live by rules. I live by what God has done in my life, what his word says, and I don't go like, I got to go do this. It's supernaturally, God does a work within your life. And as he does that work within your life, all of a sudden you want to go, all of a sudden you say, no, I don't want to do that no more. Tricky thing is, some things I didn't want, and it was very easy. Like, ask me if I smoke a cigarette. No, I don't smoke no more. I didn't want to smoke. You get high, you still smoke crack and heroin and all that. Nah, I didn't want that. But if you go around here, hey, do you tell the truth and everything? No. Hello, somebody. Do you do this or do that? Then it might be a little, well, you know, there's a lot of errors in our lives that we can get God, because we surrender and give it to God, it's like, psh, no problem. But then there's a lot of times we still have stuff in our lives. Are you guys with me here? See, I had issues then. I still have issues. But he gives me the power, and he gives you the power this morning to overcome. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by what rules? We live by our faith in God. In Psalm 32, and I'll go there. You don't have to go there. You guys already went there, been there, you've done that. Seen the movie already, but I'm going to show you part two of the movie, Psalm 32. And but this part two, this second part of the movie is just as good as the first, even better. Hello. He says, then I acknowledged my sin and did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. What did he do? I confessed my transgressions to the Lord, and he forgave the guilt of my sin. Then he writes, therefore, somebody say, therefore. Because of that, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And then in verse 8, it says, it's almost like God responding. He says, I will instruct you. Somebody say, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That we don't have to do that. That he begins to instruct us and teach us the way to go. And how many can say, he's already been teaching me and instructing me. All of a sudden, now that I've given my life to God, there's areas and sometimes in my life, he said, don't go there. So somewhere he says here in verse 9, he says, do not be. Turn there and say, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. I don't know about you, but it says it there, but how many times have I had to be like the horse with the bit and bridle?
You're like, I had to learn, or I had to be tugged this way, and it hurt. Hello, somebody. I think most of my lessons I learned in my Christianity was through God tugging on the reins. Hello, somebody. Pulling me over there. I go, man, okay, man, this is too much. I don't want to live this lifestyle anymore. God, I understand. My life is like a, like, what they say, when it's like chaos and confusion and all that stuff. I don't want to live that way no more. And I follow him. And I say, God, I want to go your way. So he's not here to beat us. He's here to save us. Save you problems, hello, troubles, and save us, you know, a headache of going over the same thing over and over. Insanity, hello, somebody. We don't do good for God to love us. How many know he loves us? And we respond with that love, with a desire to honor him with our lives. It's just something that takes place within our lives. You know, Paul doesn't just go ahead and say God loves you and you're righteous by faith. As he goes and continues, and I'm going to be closing in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to show us a little truth that you already know if you're a Christian or if you have a relationship with God. And one thing we don't want to confuse, and I'll say it over and over, because I've been around 35 years, and my wife was talking to her about it earlier on the way over, is a lot of people confuse being right with God with going to church. That going to church is a byproduct. Turn to your neighbor and say it's a byproduct of what's taking place in your lives. Because the church somehow or another is going to fail you. Well, I think I'm here 35 years. You think 35 years, everybody's just been so nice to me. Pastors have always said hi. They always said what I wanted to hear. They've always done what was right. I haven't met a pastor that fell. Those would be all lies. But the only thing that keeps me is the faith and the relationship that I had developed with the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning till even now. So if you want to get some wisdom out of anything, remember that. Love God. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I'm going to read a scripture and I'm going to close. I know I've been going for a long time. In Romans chapter 8, it's pretty 15 scriptures, so it's going to be a while. I might have to put my goggles on for that. Hello, somebody. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation. You're not condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it weakened the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, those who live according to the flesh, I want you to grab this nugget. Those who live according to the flesh, how many have ever have those areas in your life? Those who live according to it, not those that maybe, you know, oh, man, but those who live according to the flesh. Like that same thing over and over and over. Who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. This is the truth. We're made right with God, but we keep, because our minds are set on it. Remember I was saying, like, when I didn't want to smoke cigarettes no more or drink or do heroin anymore. My mind was far from doing those things. My mind's trying to get away from those things. But then there's other areas that are we still entertain. Hello. You guys with me here? Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh desires, and those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What does your Heavenly Father want you to have? Life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, turn to your neighbor and say, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. Somebody say amen. Because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, brothers and sisters. How many brothers and sisters do I have here this morning? It says here, we have an obligation. But it's not to the flesh. Do you remember before? You were obligated to the flesh, the whole flesh, and nothing but the flesh. But when God came in and he changed your life, you have the Spirit of God, you're not obligated to the flesh no more. You're not obliged to do what it said. Remember? I remember getting, as soon as my thoughts came, I tried to do good. How many tried to do good? I'll be at my mom's or something. She lived away from the neighborhood. I go there. I'm going to do good. I go to my nephew's basketball game and be their good uncle and then stay away from drugs. Then I'll be laying in bed all of a sudden. Hello. I guess then you won't see me for a few weeks. Hello, somebody. And I couldn't say, like, I buked that in Jesus. I had to get a hold of God. No, I just go out and do it. I didn't have any power. So now when I'm there and throughout these years that I've been serving God, whenever I get the itch, hello, something. And I said, man, I need to get a hold of God, or someone in here ain't living right, man. I got to pray every day. I'm not lying. I pray every day because I know that if I invest in my spirit, then he's gonna see me. It's not that I have to live that. He still loves me, but I say, God, I love what you've done. And he writes it later on in Romans chapter 12. He says, you know what your spiritual act of worship is? Right? It's surrendering in your life. And not living according to the world. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Hallelujah. After the fact, not before, and I have to do all this stuff. We get saved, the Spirit of God lives in us. Sanctification begins to take place, and he begins to do that natural good work in your life. Hello, somebody. And so when next time that you slip a little or fail, you don't beat up yourself because your Father still loves you. But you think about all that we've talked about today and say, man, I've been thinking about the flesh for like a week. Man, I ain't going to do that no more. Man, I'm going to get a hold of God, and I want to get close to God. Hello, somebody, right? Maybe we struggle. Well, when we believe God for forgiveness and we look to him and his truth, how many know he will set us free? Amen. Stand with me here this morning. Come on, stand. So God's not.